This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Logan Weber, Drew Nixon in for Codeine Gold. They'll be back on Monday, I assume. They'll be back, Drew, before you take off on your soiree.
That is the plan. And for those who are, some people have asked, I'm not doing the golf tournament on Monday. There's a list of complications that came up. But I'm more than happy to go play Falcon Lakes from the tips and have Cody or Alex join me, and we're going to calculate the score and everything like that. It's just not the same, though.
So you're not playing?
Nope, not playing.
You a solid golfer, Drew? I hear you talk about golf a lot.
He thinks he is.
I really enjoy playing. I enjoy playing golf. I'm probably, if I had to guess what I could shoot right now, anywhere from 76 to 82, 83.
At where? Clinkhurst? Mini golf?
No, if I'm shooting at 76 at mini golf, then that's tough, man.
You gotta clarify which course.
I love playing golf. I'm awful at it.
But you love playing?
I do. I enjoy playing golf a lot.
We will have to go play around at some point over the course of the summertime.
Sign Dustman. Me up. Dustman's pretty good. Rob's
just,
good.
Just make sure that all my clubs stay in my hand.
Spec's good.
Okay. But there's here at the station, Dusty loves playing. Dusty plays golf more than I do. I play when I can. I go to the range a lot. It's more of what I do. It's more my pace of things. I'll play every now and then. But
Dusty's single, too.
Yes.
That helps.
Spec also plays golf.
Spec seems like he'd be good at golf.
Spec is in the same has the same opinion as I do that I could break that we could break 100 at Augusta National.
I'd be lucky to break 200 at Augusta.
Spec thinks he can get a hit off Mariano Rivera too.
He also said he could beat Maya Moore in her prime, which is ludicrous. There's a lot. Apparently, there are a lot of things that Spec has said at this radio station that are more blasphemous than I have said. Beating Maya Moore in her prime is a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's no Spec might lose 10-0 to Maya Moore in a game to 10.
I feel like we need to do that at some point.
Even right now, Maya Moore hasn't played in I don't know how many years, Logan. At least five.
A while.
We
need to do stuff. We need to do stuff like that though. Like we need to get. We talked a while back, right before the NFL draft started, of having like a 96.5 combine because I know you guys used to do one back when it was 6.10.
I haven't done it yet.
We need to do one here with a 96.5 combine. I feel like we need to get as many people as we can together and like play a game of pickup basketball. Just to see who's out, who's an athlete, who can hoop and who can't.
Spec say you get at least 30 yards and 30 carries in the NFL, or 20 yards on throw. What was that? I forgot what the number was.
I'm beginning to question the thought process of our program director a little bit.
Spec is apparently.
Who does this man think he is?
Spec has apparently said some wild things,
and that's without the tush push. How many yards could you get, Drew?
Huh?
If I gave you 32 carries in the NFL, how many yards would you get?
If I got 32 carries, do I get to 32 carries?
Probably not, but if you did.
I could maybe get 5 yards, probably. I would bet 5 yards.
Negative 20?
I don't know. Look, again, it's not up to me necessarily. It's also up to the offensive line who's blocking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's
like,
my thing.
In fairness, like, I think I could get 5 to 10 yards if I get some good blocking.
Who's blocking for me? Is it Shedeur Sanders' O-line at Colorado? Yeah. Or is it like the mid-2000s Chiefs offensive line? Do I have like Brian Waters and Casey Wigman and those guys, you know, Willie Rofes and guy? Do I got those guys blocking for me?
Well, everybody fancies they could do something. Everybody watches sports and thinks I could do that. Now, I understand if someone's probably a good bowler and they've had 300 games or whatever, say, you know what, I could go out there and compete in this. Or I could be good in curling. But people would say they could hit a pro pitcher like Mariano Rivera in his heyday.
There are pro athletes Chapman who have right said hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. Plain and simple. There have been multiple athletes across other sports who have said that. So, yeah, there's I don't know if you've seen the video, Logan. Alex and Cody was it at the Big 12 tournament? It might have been. There was a video that they posted of them playing one on one. Oh man, it was a bit rough.
Well, we had everybody, including Dusty, we had a radar gun one day, so we went down there. Nick was here. We went down and a police officer filmed our but did radar guns for how fast we threw. I think one of the guys was hitting in the 80s.
Yeah, no, that's.
I would throw my arm out if I actually hit 80.
Baseball is not it. I talked about this yesterday on After Hours. I got cut from my high school baseball team my freshman year. I was a left-handed second baseman. Think about that one for a minute.
All right.
Yep. Growing up in small town USA, Lawson, Missouri, playing youth baseball. Not a lot of guys playing the middle infield. And when I was in T-ball and machine pitch, they were like, hey, Logan, go play second base, which I wanted to play second base because, like I've said over and over again, my favorite baseball player growing up was Dustin Pedroia. So I wanted to play second base. I was left-handed. Nobody thought better of it until I got into high school. And my high school coaches were like, what do you mean you play second base and you're left-handed? No, you're going to go play left field. Never played the outfield before. Couldn't judge a fly ball to save my life. My coaches cut me and, in fact, recommended that I go out for track instead.
It's just not as easy as people think. I remember LRZ when he was trying to make the Chiefs last year. Former rugby player. Oh, he'll be fine in the NFL. Eh. These guys are good at what they do. It is tough. This is the reason why you were cut.
Yeah. It is.
It's not as easy as you think.
It's a different dynamic, folks.
These guys are 100% pros. So CBS this morning had their, it's the power ranking time, by the way. From now until the season starts, it'll be power rankings, right? Different positions, different
groups.
Every
day we're going to bring you a new position, power
different
rankings.
Do you have the sounder for it?
No, there's no sounder for power rankings.
You can do your mock one.
Nope.
It's good weather, too. No one's getting that tornado.
Solely for mock drafts.
Okay. Post-draft NFL quarterback power rankings. Does this wet your whistle?
It wet Logan and Jacob's whistle last night because they talked about this a little bit on After.
I was fired up, man. I was fired up.
Logan was freaking out yesterday. He was crashing out a little bit.
It was. 100%.
Number one, who would be number one on your list?
Well,
CBS has their list. I'll tell you who they put. So we're using Cody Benjamin's list at CBS. So post-NFL draft quarterback power rankings, who would sit at number one? An established quarterback, an MVP, someone's won a Super Bowl, or a second-year player.
All of the above, any of them?
Okay, no?
Yeah, I talked about it last night. If you don't want to put Mahomes at number one, that's fine. If you want, I can justifiably be okay with you putting Josh Allen at number one because he's fresh off of an MVP. I can justify you putting Lamar Jackson ahead of Mahomes if you want to. I have more of a problem with it, but if you want to put him at one and Josh Allen at two, okay, and put Mahomes at three.
How about Jalen Hurts? He's been in two Super Bowls, one. That might be right now.
Hurts had a top five defense and the best running back the NFL has seen in the last 20 years.
They won that because of defense. We all know that.
He got carried to a Super Bowl. He played well in that Super Bowl. He won Super Bowl MVP. Give him credit, but he should not be above Patrick Mahomes. You know who really shouldn't?
Number one, Jaden Daniels. And
you
listen,
gotta be kidding.
Listen, I love Jaden Daniels. I love what Washington's doing, putting that line in front of him, getting receivers. Like Jaden Daniels back at Arizona State. Loved what he did at LSU. I can't believe he didn't win more games when he had Brian Thomas to throw to and Malik Nabers, but different point. But Jaden Daniels had a good rookie season. We've seen good rookie seasons. C.J. Stroud had a great rookie season. But you weren't putting him number one on the power rankings the following year. You weren't doing
it. What's the reasoning behind it? Is there like a description?
As Cody says here, be hard-pressed to find an NFL team that wouldn't hurry to claim him as its quarterback of the present and future, contenders included. He was simply unflappable for much of his dynamic debut. Actually, there's probably a lot of teams that wouldn't take him. Like, Bills aren't taking him over Josh Allen. Ravens aren't taking him over Lamar Jackson. Chiefs are definitely not taking him over Patrick Mahomes. I doubt the Chargers are with Herbert, and definitely not Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. Listen, do I think he's better than Caleb Williams? I do.
Yeah.
I thought so before the draft. I think so now. I think he's better than that. But number one quarterback in the NFL? No.
Yeah. Number one is, that's crazy work.
Two is Jalen Hurts. Not some Marines to see because he won the Super Bowl. He's been the two. He's won one. I give it to him.
Okay.
Hats off, Jalen Hurts. It's fine. That's what we're going to say. Joe Burrow, number three. Lamar Jackson, number four. We haven't got to Josh Allen or Mahomes.
Josh Allen's
five, Mahomes six, right before Matt Stafford. We're not giving Allen and Mahomes more credit for. Listen, say what you want about Burrow, but he had Ja'Marr Chase win the Triple Crown of wide receivers. He had T. Higgins. He had people to throw to. Now the offensive line wasn't great, but the bottom line: Allen and Mahomes had nobody. Allen scoring 30 points a game with nobody receiver. Stephon Diggs was well gone at that point, and he's winning games. Mahomes continues to win. He went most of the season without his one and two. Okay, rookie, undersized rookie, step up and be the guy.
Do you want to know what my favorite part of this article is? So he's got Josh Allen at number five. He want to talk about recency bias and putting Jaden Daniels at one and not putting Josh Allen, the most recent MVP, on the list. My favorite part of this article is this. Here's his explanation for having Josh Allen at number five. The reigning MVP is coming off his most efficient season while operating with a new-look receiving core. Like Lamar Jackson, another AFC superhero, he's just yet to escape the Chiefs' shadow. So the reason he put him at number five is because Josh Allen can't beat Mahomes, yet he still puts him ahead of Mahomes.
Yes.
What? So the reason he's there is because he can't beat Mahomes, but yet he's still higher than Mahomes on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Make it make sense.
So from now on, I'll make the decision for Cody and Alex. Anytime you said his name's Cody Benjamin, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Anytime his article comes up, we're not doing a thing with his article anymore. He's been banned.
You've taken a lot of CBS guys
his
off
articles,
this list.
Look, I'll be honest.
I like Josh Edwards.
I'll be honest. The list stinks. Bink, the list stinks. It's worth not taking into consideration.
Not. Brock Purdy's at 10. He's ahead of Baker Mayfield. Baker had a damn good year.
I understand that, but you can't base things off of just one season like this. When we're talking about ranking a quarterback, you can't go off of one season because we saw sophomore slumps. We see them all the time. CJ Stroud backtracked a little bit. Wide receivers got hurt. Yeah, it was a factor, but also he just wasn't as good. If Jaden Daniels doesn't look as good, then the list looks even worse.
You want to know what's incredibly bad about this list also?
What is that?
Number 20 on the list, J.J. McCarthy. Number 21, Tua Tagovailoa. Number 22, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, if you're Tua behind,
He's got J.J. McCarthy ahead, a guy who's never played a snap in the National Football League.
The Vikings won't say his quarterback one.
Ahead of the guy who started in front of him last year and had a great year and was a Pro Bowler. What?
He's got Anthony Richardson behind Joe Flacco. That's funny, actually.
Okay, well, that might be the most accurate thing about the list. No offense to Anthony Richardson, he got benched for Joe Flacco. So
we'll see how long Joe starts there in Cleveland.
It won't be very long, but I think Joe starts week one. In college football, guys, you teased it before, Bink. College football is getting a commission, and Nick Saban is going to be one of the co-heads of the commission, which makes a ton of sense. If there is to be a commissioner of college football, Nick Saban would be that guy. But they're also including, and I understand the reasoning behind this, they're including somebody who has deep ties to NIL and the business side of things with college football. Makes a lot of sense until I think you find out that Cody Campbell, who is a Texas billionaire businessman, is a part of the NIL collective for Texas Tech. I think there's a conflict of interest here a little bit. I get the reasoning behind wanting to have a commission. I understand it. It's what we need in college football. But I think that you need to only include players and coaches, former players and former coaches in this. You can get advice from businessmen, but if you're including in the room TV executives or people who are boosters that are involved in certain schools or certain conferences, there can be a bit of a conflict of interest there, even if it makes sense to have an individual with their expertise involved in the discussion. They can't be the ones making decisions. Otherwise, we're going to keep on going down the road that we've been going on for a while now.
Mm-hmm. But you recognize there is a problem. And well, I think everybody
does.
I mean, the way the playoffs were scheduled last year, it was a joke the Boise State had a home game. That was, sorry, they didn't deserve one.
No.
They're going to take a look at that. The transfer portal windows, they're going to change that because certain guys didn't play in playoffs because of the portal.
Boise State didn't have a home game. They had a bye.
Yes. Correct. And then a home game.
No.
It wasn't home.
No, they had a first round bye.
I consider the bye a playoff win. I consider a bye because I consider that a win.
No, because there's automatic qualifiers. If they earned it and if they were the fourth team in the country and they got the bye because they ranked the teams 1 through 12 and they were fourth in the country, then I would consider it differently. But they were automatically up there.
They got an automatic win, so get the next round. Did they deserve it?
I mean, in fairness, they were as high as 7th or 8th in the actual college football playoff poll. So I think Boise State deserves it more than most. You would say, going forward, I don't think any group of 5 or group of 6 schools would be in that category.
Well, I know Penn State went out and beat them the next week, but
I mean, yeah, but
it was a home game,
and that was a really good Penn State team that got all the way to
that was a home game for Boise State. They did get a home game.
They didn't play at home.
No, they didn't play at home. That was a bowl game.
It was a bowl game, but
it was in Arizona.
They were considered the home team.
That doesn't make it a home game.
That's not the same thing, though.
I'm saying
they weren't playing on they weren't playing on the Smurf turf.
They were considered the home team.
No, they might have been better off playing. It goes back to this whole conversation real quick before we get to some more playoff news regarding college football. If you're Boise State, you would have rather hosted a first round game at home.
Probably.
Money brought into the city, for one. Two, you get to say you hosted a college football playoff game. Who's to say they ever do that again? Because I don't think that was the plan from the jump anyways. The group of 5 team, everybody said, well, they're going to get the 12th spot. They'll be on the road against the 5 seed.
Because you actually played at home. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. They were the teams that actually played at home.
And if you were to re-rank, this is where everybody talked about re-ranking the teams, Penn State would have gotten a bye, I think.
Yeah.
Penn State would have been at the 4 spot, and Boise State would have hosted probably Indiana. They would have been the 7 or the 8 in this case, whatever the case is. They would have been the 7 or the 8 seed. If you're Boise State, you might have rather actually hosted that playoff game. And even if you lose in the quarterfinal, if you win a playoff game at home in Boise, Idaho, and then get to go, the story is so much better than them getting the bye and them losing to Penn State because everybody wanted to crap on
Boise
State.
They're going to recede. We know they're going to recede. It's something they're going to recede.
I mean, we certainly hope so. I think this is a step in the right direction, though, in terms of having the commission having somebody who is spearheading the decision-making that especially, I think Nick Saban's got to be, in a way, the end-all, be-all with this because he, even while he was dominating in Alabama, and Kirby Smart is taking advantage of all the stuff that's going on, all the coaches are taking advantage. There has been multiple times where Coach Saban has said, we need change, while he's also, you know, taking advantage of things, but they recognize that they need to fix stuff in the sport before it completely veers off the road.
Well, Dabo Swinney tried to hold out, and finally he's doing transfer portal. He didn't have any last year.
Yeah, and
I'm not going to shed it.
There's only the service academies in Clemson. That was it, but
I'm in the minority. I really like Dabo Swinney. I think the fact that he made the playoff while also not having a single portal player is actually really impressive. But again, the ACC is, you can call the ACC weak. It's the weakest Power 4 conference, which gets me to the interesting point. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier this morning. Ross Dellinger reported that a 16-team playoff is gaining support. And basically what would happen is the automatic bids, you'd get 4 SEC, 4 Big Ten, 2 ACC, 2 Big 12, 1 group of 6, and then 3 at-large bids. So the Big 12 gets 2. Not great, but I think this is something that they have to accept given the decision-making is being really done by the SEC and the Big Ten. Take what you can. The fact that you get 2 teams instead of 1 in is great. The other part of this is
1 group of 6, then 3 at large. Yeah, yep.
The other part of this is conference championship weekend for the SEC and the Big Ten in particular would change where it wouldn't just be 1 Big 12 or Big Ten title game or 1 SEC title game. It could be a play-in for the two automatic, the final two automatic bids were the first and second seed. Let's say it's Ohio State and Oregon, and then it's Texas and it's Georgia. They automatically are in. They don't play conference title weekend. You have the 3 and the 6 play and the 4 and the 5 play for those two final automatic qualifier spots. I think it's interesting. It's a revamped version to conference title weekend for the Big 12. Maybe you just take the top two teams in the conference, or you could have the first team make it automatically, and then you have the second and third team in the Big 12 play each other for that final spot in the college football playoff, at least in terms of the automatic bids. I think it's a way to revamp the sport while also making conference championship week matter a lot.
Yeah, it matters more for what goes on beyond it. It makes the actual ambiance around a conference championship game pretty meaningless at this point, right? In a lot of respects. The Big Ten, to have your top two teams in your league not even compete in conference championship week, then it loses its luster a little bit, and I think it changes the trajectory of the history of the league. But I'm with you. I'm not against this move. I think 16 is the perfect amount.
They should have gotten this before. They should have messed around with 12.
The last thing I want to see is them go beyond 16. I think once you go beyond 16, it starts to lose value. It starts to become a wash in a lot of respects.
Listen, the 12's better than the way it used to be. I always said BCS having the playoffs of 4 teams is better than the BCS.
I would have rather seen them start with 8 and then move to 16 rather than go from 4 to 12,
the
16.
Yeah. Make everybody realize 12 teams is a joke. Well,
16 just makes the most logical sense. It works the best in terms of a bracket.
I'm going to be totally honest, too. The on-campus stuff is great. You wouldn't have, in this situation, you wouldn't have any buys. You would just have, it'd be like a March Madness region. You'd have 1 through 16 and everybody would play. You could theoretically have two rounds of on-campus games. First round is on-campus, and the second round is on-campus with 8. Then you move into the semifinals, which are the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and then the Orange Bowl is the national title game. It serves as the national title game or whatever the case is. Or it'd also be great if the sponsors were like, you know what, this is the Orange Bowl at Ben Griffin Stadium in Florida, at Neyland Stadium in Tennessee. And they still get to host the games on campus, because for you to, and if they reseed them bank 1 through 16, if you know the automatic bids and then you put the three at larges as the bottom feeders in that 16 team playoff and you re-rank it, you might have some overlapping in terms of gameplay. But if you are the fifth team in the country and you win that and you win a game, the play-in game, you should host it. You deserve to host a game. If you're the third team in the conference, you lose to the sixth team in the conference, there might be some debate as to whether or not you deserve to, you know, host. But if you're ranked, because we saw Boise State, I believe, was ranked, what were they in the final poll, 9th or 10th? They weren't going to host a game if they straight up ranked them 1 through 12. Now with this new system, theoretically speaking, you're getting a true seeding for all of the teams in the playoff, not a, well, this team was a conference champion and won, even though they're not, even though Boise State wasn't better than Ohio State, we're going to seed them higher because, hey, they won the conference title game. That's where we got a little bit into an argument last year in regards to how the seedings played out.
It's still better. And 12 was definitely better than the way it was, because Ohio State would have even been in.
Correct.
And they were the national champions.
They were the best team in college football.
At least we're getting to something better.
I'll tell you one thing before we hit the break here. Count your days, NCAA.
Thank goodness. It's your days.
They are losing power left. They've got none left.
They've never had control of the playoffs.
They're a figurehead at this point. More and more and more and more. The day that the NCAA loses March Madness, it's over for the NCAA as the overseer of college athletics.
Well, they've lost college football playoffs already, so they're not in charge of that. So they're scared that they're going to bolt off and have their own Division I. Regardless, it's Chiefs Red Half.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Power next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Every day at this time, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Jay Binkley, Logan Weber, Drew Nixon with you for the Chiefs Red Half Hour. So I was thinking, because oftentimes when a guy's released or still sitting out there, everybody wants him. But is there that one guy that, because a lot of times you'll go laugh about it. They don't need this guy. They just don't need this guy. But is there one guy sitting out there and you're thinking, you know what? I've always liked this guy in the NFL. I would actually like to see what he would be like on the Chiefs. Is there any name that kind of jumps out to you? With the guys, we talked about Nick Chubb the other day. Nick Chubb's putting out the exercise videos on Twitter. He's only played in, 10 games the last 2 years. Would that be a fit with the Chiefs? Because he was listed as a fit with the Kansas City Chiefs. But is there anybody that you think would actually help this team? You look at these free agents, say, I like this player. I think he'd be great in Kansas City. Not to get crazy, and again, pie in the sky. It's not like you're hoping and wishing and praying that this happens. But is there any free agent you say, you know what, I'd like to see what he could do in the Chiefs?
I've got a couple that I'm looking at. Both of them on the defensive side of the football. The one that I had written down earlier in the show was Za'Darius Smith. Pass rush specialist. I think that he gives you more depth along the defensive line. He's a guy that you could even, with his size, 6'4", 270, 280, on obvious third and long passing situations or even second and long passing situations, you could even slide him inside if you wanted
played
to.
Played well when he was traded to Detroit last year.
Yeah, he had, 7.5?
Nine total, I think, before.
Nine total sacks. 5 in Cleveland, 4 with the Detroit Lions. A 9-sack season last year. He's 32 years old. So he's obviously not going to get top dollar for his services anymore. So he's one I was intrigued by. Somebody that you could use in a platoon system along with Charles Aminihu and George Karloftis.
He's over 30, so it'd be discounted.
And the Gelati kid from Louisville and Felix Anudike Uzama. But the one that, as I was looking more and more into it, a guy who he would be a little bit more expensive because he's younger and would have more opportunity in the league. What about Asante Samuel Jr.? 25 years old, still a free agent after being a second round pick with the Los Angeles Chargers, right? He's had an up and down start to his career. He 5'10", 180 pounds. So the problem there is that he's got a slot corner body type. And how does that pair with Trent McDuffie, right? If you were to sign a guy like Asante Samuel Jr., that more than likely means that he's either going to have to play out of position at corner, or he's going to have to play in the slot, and Trent McDuffie is going to be a full-time outside corner.
Which is not what you want.
So that's kind of where I cooled off on him a little bit. But those are two guys that I have intriguing thoughts behind as added depth pieces at positions of need. Za'Darius Smith as a pass rushing specialist with size, he can kick inside in certain situations, or a guy like Asante Samuel Jr. who could help relieve pressure for McDuffie and the rookie Noah Williams and Jalen Watson and Christian Fulton.
So not a guy you'd stump for, but certainly a guy you wouldn't complain about. Like, you wouldn't complain about these two cats in KC.
I think for me, I would say, and the text line has pointed it out too, I think Jadeveon Clowney would be an interesting name. He just got cut.
Again, same age as Za'Darius.
Yeah. And you can never have too many pass rushers. And I mean, we've heard everybody say that essentially in football. You can never have too many of them. And I know that you just got Jelani and, of course, Charles Amenihu is back. But having somebody that you can add to the rotation of, hey, George needs a breather. This guy needs a breather. This person's struggling a little bit. Somebody gets hurt. Having another guy who has got solid experience, has good success, or has had good success, is another guy that you might include in the room, even though they're age 30, 31, 32, whatever the case is. Having a guy that's got that talent and that capability rather than relying on other people. And I think, again, you might say, well, it's a shot at FAU, but in fairness, if you know Jadeveon Clowney is available and he's going to be cheap and it's going to fit your team, why not bring him in? And then if FAU, if Felix ends up playing great, then wonderful. You're getting more time. But if he's still struggling to find his way a little bit and Jadeveon Clowney's there, then it's a good thing you paid him $1.5 million or whatever the heck it is to pay him and bring him in the room. You might as well add a guy like that. So maybe he's not a need, but a fit, I think it would be interesting.
Well, the guy I was thinking about, and it's in the same age group that you have here. Basically, Za'Darius Smith's 32. Asante Samuel, obviously, much younger. And Jadeveon's 32. Keenan Allen, he's 33, right? Keenan Allen, listen, thorn in the side of Kansas City for a long time, no question. Dominates the slot, could play outside as well, but dominates in the slot. But he had 70 catches last year with Chicago. And that was not a good offense in Chicago. Having 70 catches in Chicago, not bad. 7 touchdowns, coming off 108 catch season the season before his last year with Los Angeles. Say he did make $18 million last year with Chicago. Certainly that would come a lot less at this point. But having a guy with his skill set that's been a pro, that you can rely on him, it's not going to be a game breaker for you, but somebody to rely on you, kind of the dirty catches that you get from Kelsey from time, different positions, but same type, intermediate, inside and the inside in the slot. A guy that could perform for the Chiefs. Sitting out there at 33, again, getting cheap. I'm just saying, you could add him as an arsenal with the weapons.
It's a he would have a mentorship sort of a role, right? Kind of like what DeAndre Hopkins did for Xavier Worthy last year. You bring in a guy like Keenan Allen, who does, I mean, Rashee Rice has a little bit of that in his game, a little bit Keenan Allen-esque in a lot of respects.
And you will probably tough be missing him for a while. So.
Yeah, he makes tough catches. He's good in short, intermediate, and deep routes. The concern I have is, would he be willing to accept a role of that kind? Would Keenan Allen, because Keenan Allen has had some diva-esque moments in his career, right? As wide receivers and DBs do. I don't know what it is about wide receivers and DBs, but these guys always come out with the most obscure social media posts you've ever heard. They make absolutely no sense, you know, but that's just who they are. I wonder if Keenan Allen would be okay to accept a role because he had a similar situation going on in Chicago where you had a solidified guy in DJ Moore. You brought in a great rookie in Roma Dunze, and now Keenan Allen's there as well. I don't know if he would be willing to accept a lesser than, hey, I'm not the number one target on any given play. I might be the number three or four target in this Chiefs offense.
Yeah, he's okay with that, knowing his age. Sometimes these guys just have to realize who and what they are. You know what I'm saying, Logan?
Sometimes.
And they don't. But 33 years old, they don't have a lot of choices. Don't close the door. It's like Justin Simmons talking. Well, you know, I don't want to play for the Chiefs. There's been a rival, but I'm not closing the door, which is funny when he said that at the end. Like, I'm not closing the door because you don't have opportunities. And you're 33, might be your last opportunity.
Yeah, and I've seen Justin Simmons' name thrown around a couple of times in the text line here talking about people. I don't understand why Justin Simmons. I know that there's people that say, you know, Brian Cook this, Brian Cook that. He does a serviceable job.
He didn't want to play here, though. He even said that. He didn't say he'd close the door on it, but he didn't want to play here.
Right. And Jaden Hicks, I actually have a lot of belief in what Jaden Hicks can bring. And having Shamari Connor as sort of that tweener safety, that inside the box guy who can come down and pass rush and can make tackles inside the box. And
led the team in interceptions last year.
I like Shamari Connor, Jaden Hicks, and Brian Cook to lead this secondary, this safety group. Honestly, Justin Simmons is a great player. Very, very smart safety. Incredibly smart, incredibly intuitive, and he's a ball hawk. He makes plays and he tackles well. But again, very similar to Keenan Allen, what's his role? What's his fit? Because I don't see either one of those guys as somebody who could play every down and would be willing to accept not playing every single down for a football team, not being available for 80% of the snaps offensively or defensively. Za'Darius Smith is accustomed to that. That's what kind of had to happen with him throughout the last couple of years of his career since he left Minnesota. So I don't know. I think it's an intriguing possibility.
I do believe these guys will play in the NFL, but I think they'll be training camp signings.
Could be.
Meaning they've been around the block. They're over 30 years old. This is something where a team gets training camp. They have injuries. They say, let's go ahead and take a flyer.
Exactly. That's exactly what I see is whether it's training camp, preseason, or early on in the year, you'll see an NFL team that has a big time injury occur at that position, and they'll be able to slide in and make something happen, right? Like, who's to say Keenan Allen doesn't become a huge acquisition target for the Pittsburgh Steelers now? You just traded away.
6'2".
Yeah, you just traded away a guy. You've got DK Metcalf. Your quarterback is likely, God knows, Mason Rudolph right now. You need somebody that he can throw the football to. I don't know. I don't know what this Chiefs team would do. If they'll do anything, to be honest, I don't know. I don't think the Chiefs would do anything.
Oh, I don't think they will either, but I'm just saying it's out there. You always have these names that are sitting out there. Well, you take a flyer on
it's
certain
individuals.
It's
fun to talk about, right?
Yeah. I'm not stumping for it, but I wouldn't complain about it either.
Yeah, if money wasn't an actual thing, you know, we could talk. We could discuss it.
But the Simmons is interesting because he kind of talked out of both sides of his mouth.
He did.
Oh, they're my rival. Would never do it. And then all of a sudden, the door's open.
If they needed a safety to give one, go after Blackman with the Colts.
Colts, yeah. That could be a good one.
He has an injury history, but he's 26, and he's been good. I mean, when he's on the field, he's been good. Of course, everybody's good when they're on, you know, it tends to be. If you're on the field, you're already a little bit better than you are off the field, of course, anyways.
And then, of course, also in the Chiefs world is Josh Jacobs. Speaking of guys that said they'd never play with the Chiefs, because he holds that dearly, like a rival of mine. And it's fine, but he stands on business. He's okay with it, and he probably would never go do it, but I always think it's crazy because if you don't have any opportunities and one team's calling, you don't want to close the door on anybody's opportunity. But do you remember back in 2021? You weren't here yet, Drew, but do you remember when the Raiders stood on the logo?
I do.
Of the Kansas City Chiefs?
I recall that, yes.
I remember the story. I don't remember actually seeing it, but yes.
So they stood. The Raiders had some fun stuff at the Chiefs' expense, right? They travel around in their bus around the stadium, which, to be honest with you, was a little bit ridiculous as well. Just something that you wouldn't do. But the Raiders, they don't have success against the Chiefs. Chiefs have dominated this division, and it is interesting because Josh Jacobs now breaks down that game. He was on a podcast recently, and he talked about that game and standing on the logo. And basically, he was not a fan of it. He said several Raiders intentionally gathered around KC's logo, leading to some extra fuel for the Chiefs. Jacobs viewed the move as unnecessary and unwarranted, and in the end, the Chiefs had their biggest win over the Raiders ever, 48-9. Chiefs got the last laugh on that, and he said he didn't take part in it. He was asked on his podcast, he said, I didn't take part in it.
Yeah, told his teammates not to do it.
He goes, I remember exactly what I said because I didn't do it. He added my exact words with, y'all do that, y'all better stand on that blank because I'm like, we better win. They got rolled in that game, and he said he was hot in the locker room. So if you think all the Raiders were behind it, I always thought there would be, you know, some of the veterans of the team or some of the good players going, what are you doing, guys? It's just like when the Raiders rookie last year was making fun of Mahomes' voice in training camp. You'd have to think a veteran player takes that and say, what are you doing, man? Don't give them any more fuel.
I mean, Josh Jacobs played at Alabama. He was in that culture with Nick Saban. Nick Saban would have kicked you off the team if you'd have done, if you'd have stood at the logo and done everything on the logo. You're not playing today. You're probably, you know, you might have to be, you're suspended. You know, you're gone. Whatever the case is, because Saban doesn't mess around with that stuff. So I get why Josh Jacobs was heated in that moment. There's certain things that you just don't do.
Chiefs have 13-2 in their last 15 against the Raiders, 18-3 in their last 21. Yes, these teams do stand up and beat them at some time, but unless you can consistently do it, unless this team's not winning nine straight divisions, you don't go dancing on their logo before a game. And Jacobs told him that, just like I thought a lot of the Raiders would have talked to their that guy with the Kermit the Frog voice in Mahomes, like, hey, man, what are you doing? Don't give them any more fuel, because the Chiefs live on fuel.
No, 100%. The bulletin board material is what the Chiefs feed off of. I mean, Mahomes is so – he's got that mindset, right? He's got that Brady, that Tiger, that Jordan sort of a mindset of, like, I'm going to remember you did that. And just to give – look at the box score of this game. To find out – just to realize how bad the Chiefs dominated the Raiders in this football game – the Chiefs' leading rusher in that game against the Raiders, Derek Gore. Derek Gore, exactly. 9 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. Clyde had a pair of rushing touchdowns in that game. 1.5 sack, leading sack man for the Chiefs that day. They had 4 as a team. Alex Okafor had 1.5 sacks in that football game.
He told them blank, don't do that blank. That's dumb. We're
that
a little
is how
brother
bad.
At this point, and that's exactly what they were.
They absolutely dog walked them. Yeah, Josh Jacobs had 24 yards rushing on 9 carries. The Raiders had 44 yards rushing as a team. Derek Carr threw the ball 45 times and threw for 263 yards. Mahomes threw it 24 times for 258 yards. He threw it 21 less times and only had 5 less yards than Derek Carr did. They worked those dudes.
I never forget before that game, everything started coming out or people talking about the Raiders on the logo, and you just kind of rolled your eyes. It's like, this is comical. What's this team doing? They think they've arrived. What are they doing? They're still a little brother of the Chiefs. And, of course, they've continued to win that division ever since. And the Chiefs got the Super Bowl inside their own stadium since then.
And again, the Raiders were actually a pretty good football team that year.
This year they made it to the playoffs and lost to the Bengals,
yeah,
correct?
I mean, they were
21? Or was it 22?
I think it was they went 10-7 in 2021.
That was
then 21.
Yeah. So that was the year they lost to the Bengals.
Yes, that was the year they lost to the Bengals by 7.
Yep.
Yeah, they were 6-6 going into that game, and
that's right. They got hot late in the season to barely make
it. They did. They won their last 4 games of the year. So after they lost to the Chiefs 48-9. They beat the Browns on the road. They beat the Broncos at home. They beat the Colts on the road, and they beat the Chargers at home. Not the strongest 4-team approach there to end the year, but they went from 6-7 to 10-7.
That's the last time they made the playoffs. Too, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because they got rid of Derek Carr, and then, man.
They weren't a bad football team that year, and that was, I guess, the catalyst for them, because they got embarrassed at Arrowhead and kind of flipped the switch there a little bit before ultimately, falling to the Bengals.
They were in that game, too. I mean, they were inside the red zone, down 7.
I remember the Raiders were even upset when the Chiefs did the ring around the rosy play.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't count, but still they did it on them, which I still think is a brilliant play.
I will say this.
You don't know where who's lining up where.
I know.
Where's Mahomes?
Then to complain about it afterward. Like that was the thing that everybody was beeping and moaning about, was the Chiefs dancing on the graves
Hang on. Whether they deserve to or not, I will say, I do think running that sort of play is not, again, not that the Chiefs shouldn't have done it or whatever.
It was a brilliant play, Drew.
It's disrespectful, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with them doing it, but it is disrespectful for them to do that. Granted, do you say the Raiders deserve it? That's up for debate. It was disrespectful, though.
100% it was, and it should have been. They were trying to be the big bad Raiders again. They were trying to be Howie Long and John Madden's Raiders and be the big bad boys of the NFL. And you were stomping on the Arrowhead. You were spitting. You were doing all the things. I'm of the opinion, and I've always been this way. I am 100% all for, I think it should be completely legalized for you to do a dance in the end zone. If you get dunked on in the NBA, a dude should be able to point at you, give you the two. You should be able to talk as much trash as humanly possible. Because if you're an opponent, hey, if you don't want somebody to do that, don't allow it to happen. Hey, if you don't want somebody to run a stupid play against you down by 40, don't get down by 40. That's the opinion I have. They made their own bed. They had to lie in it, and the Chiefs made sure they did.
As far as being disrespectful, Drew, I respectfully disagree with you. For one, they'd earn the right to do it, whatever they want. But two, that was actually a really brilliant play, to be honest with you. Because when you're circling like that, as funny as it looks, ring around the rosy and all that, you don't know which players are lining up where. You force a team into confusion. You force a team into taking a timeout. And like the Raiders, they didn't know what was going on. And that's exactly what you want, because there are only certain things you can do within a game. That actually made a lot of sense.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's disrespectful. There's a lot of things that are, like Logan said, if you dunk on somebody and you point at him, it's disrespectful. But at the same time, you just postered that man. So, I mean, you deserve to be disrespectful in that regard.
There's nothing the Chiefs could do to the Raiders that would be disrespectful. They could do.
I mean, you're running trick plays, they did tours
around their damn stadium after winning. There's nothing respectful or disrespectful you can do to that team. They've done enough to the Chiefs.
Oh, I know. If you were to give me both instances, I'm not going to say them taking a lap around Arrowhead's not disrespectful. It's just as disrespectful as them doing the ring around the rosy play.
They owed one.
I think that people think that I'm against the Chiefs in this regard. It's regardless of the situation. Anthony Edwards took a lap. He walked around what I would call Staples Center. It's not that, but he walked around
Crypto.com arena.
He took a lap around Crypto.com arena after beating the Lakers. Disrespectful. He was walking on the streets of LA, lapping the stadium and talking smack. Disrespectful.
I love
now,
it.
Now,
you know
wrong?
What the problem
now,
is a quarterback in Kansas City is 19-1 on the road in the division. That should be disrespectful to these other teams.
I'm all for the disrespect. If you don't want to get disrespected, be better. I've always, like, when a college football team loses a game in the conference 50-0, and it's like, oh, they never called off the dogs. They scored 20 points in the fourth quarter.
Stop them.
What are they supposed to do? I mean, like, James Franklin talked about that last year. They killed somebody, and the opposing coach was complaining about it after the game. And James Franklin's like, we had our backups in. We were playing freshmen and sophomores.
There's only so much that we can do.
We're not going to stop our guys from playing football. Like, you're not going to do that. You're not going to stop your guys from playing the game, because what's that supposed? You're going to cause complacency within your organization or within your program. You don't want to do that. They're going to do their best to score points and win a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. You should continue to do your best to try to stop it. It's that simple.
What's disrespectful is what you did the other day to Logan and I when you went and got your breakfast. I digress. Come up next. What's trending?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.